Blog Talk Radio.
Today, two different kinds of soul from two different kinds of cities, Portland Hip Hop and Corpus Christi Fusion. It's Music Friday Live, your place for emerging talent across the globe. Don't go away today.
I need a big, big bed to save the dreams that I've dreamt. Catch them in this linen net. Keep them so I don't forget.
From Los Angeles, California, it's Music Friday Live, brought to you by Solar City, your source for clean, sustainable energy. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan. This is your show. These bands are here to talk with you, so you can call them 347-215-7511, or you can email your questions. I know a lot of you are at work. You've got your headphones on, and you're not really watching that computer screen. You're listening to us, so go ahead and email us, musicfridaylive@gmail.com. Well, we've got a couple of great guests coming up, but first, I just wanted to give a little salute to George Martin. You know, without George, there probably would not have been Beatles and all that flowed from the Beatles. And I want to say glad you made it to 90, George, and I hope you keep on producing music wherever you are. Incidentally, for those of you who don't know, George Martin signed the first contract with the Beatles, and he's also responsible for bringing Ringo Starr on. And there's a little story there. Excuse me, I seem to have a frog in my throat. The original drummer was Peter Best. And when George interviewed the band, he didn't think Peter was good enough and he wanted him replaced. Well, when the Beatles came back into the studio to record Love Me Do with the new drummer, Ringo Starr, Martin didn't want to take a chance on an untried drummer. So he made Ringo play the tambourine while he brought in a session musician, Andy White. Ringo was not happy about that. So Martin let him play on another take of the song, and both versions were eventually released. So if you have both versions of the original Love Me Do, congratulations, because you've got something really, really rare. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we have to come back and welcome in all of our affiliate radio stations, and then we're going to talk to Dirty Revival. Don't go away.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archived CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
And we're back. This is Patrick O'Heffernan. I am your host here at Music Friday Live, and I'm welcoming all of our listeners here to the CyberStationUSA.com network and their radio affiliates. And you, if you have a question or comments for our guest, call us 347-215-7511 or email your questions to musicfridaylive.com. Rather, musicfridaylive@gmail.com. And if you're listening to us on a podcast, I know half of you listen to us on podcasts. You get us from iTunes, or you download us from CyberStation USA or Blog Talk Radio. If you listen to us on a podcast, you can still email your questions. We will forward them on to the artist, and they can reply directly to you. Well, before we meet our next guest, I wanted to remind all of you, especially the musicians and the fans out there, that Music Friday Live is a partner with World Arts. World Arts is the global music platform that connects artists with fans and brands and industry pros. World Arts offers bands live performances. It offers them video shoots, recording sessions, and master songwriting classes. Fans can get new music. They can see intimate shows. I was at one yesterday at lunchtime, no doubt. You can also meet your favorite artist. I did meet one of my favorite artists there. I'm not going to tell you who it is because they're going to come up later. If you are a band or a fan or a member of the music industry, you should be part of World Arts. Sign up at worldarts.com. It's free. It's free. And bands actually get paid, too. So we are there. You should be, too. Well, I saw this Portland-based band called Dirty Revival over a month ago when they were on a swing through Hollywood. I was at a club, and I didn't really know them. And, wow, These seven people could fill a stadium with happy, hopping soul rock and dancing people. Belting voices, hot horns, powerhouse drumming, down and dirty guitar chops, you name it, they got it, and they get it right. Six dudes and an African-American woman with a voice like Bessie Smith, that and they all just connect. There's nothing like them. Now, they have been Portland, Oregon's little secret for too long, so I'm bringing them here. They are here, lead singer Sarah Clark and guitarist Evan Simcoe. Welcome to Music Friday Live.
Hi, Patrick.
Hey, thanks
for having us.
I heard a little giggle back there, so you've been Portland's secret for too long, huh?
I was laughing because Bessie Smith is one of my favorite vocalist ever, and one of the first things I ever did on a stage was sing a couple of her songs during a very artistic version of the show Chicago, and I just thought that comparison was really apt.
Well, you channel her well, right? Well,
thank you.
Before I get flooded with emails from listeners asking, where does the name Dirty Revival come from? What are you reviving, and why didn't you clean it up first?
Well, one of the things that's funny about this group is that we picked that name knowing that we were interested in doing soul music. It was very important to us. We knew that we, we wanted to kind of put our own spin on whatever it was that we were going to choose to do. But the definition of the name itself didn't really come into play until we really established our sound, which I think truly almost like happened maybe like a year and a half ago. So it was one of those funny things where we picked the name, ran with it, and then kind of grew into it, kind of like hand-me-down clothes or something.
Yeah, I hear some music going on there. Are people breaking into your hotel room?
Music? No, I don't know.
There are some noise going on.
Are you still getting a little delay from Sarah? Should I go further away?
Okay. Well, so you just sort of grew into the name, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, that was a big part of it, you know, for us was just we knew, as I said, like we wanted to bring soul forward in our personal lives and funk, and we wanted to do more of that. And we also wanted to, you know, kind of put our own spin on things. And we thought that, like, the name Dirty Revival really embodied that. As we started writing music together and performing together, we were really able to, like, hone in on that sound and what that was going to be.
Okay, so that's the reason. So I want to tell all my listeners who are poised to send us emails about the name, we just got the answer. All right. But now, you know, your creation story, which is by now famous, you start in a basement. I think you were the two who started it, and then you pulled in some high school friends, and then you held a basement concert where you were discovered. Is that anywhere near historically correct?
Yeah. That's
it's really, really close.
Excuse me. Yeah, it's very close. Me and the drummer's younger brother, Ken, came together. Ken wanted to jam and just play around or whatever, so we met up, and we wanted a singer. So Terry, the drummer, brought in Sarah, a good friend of his, and she started singing with us a bit. I was a little hesitant at first, but we convinced her to stay, and just because she hadn't sang with a band before, so it was a little bit of a new experience. And then we wanted keys, so we brought in a keyboard player. We played that first house party show, and the sax player was there listening and hanging out, and he wanted to get down, so we had him come play with us, and we kind of just built piece by piece, and eventually the bass player, Ken, who kind of helped start the thing, wasn't wanting to be as serious about it, so he kind of backed out a little bit, and we brought in John Shaw, a bassist, who Terry also knew, and kind of just picked up from there, and I was mutual friends with the trumpet player, John Clay. So we all kind of just came together.
I love the horns. I mean, you don't run into many bands with horn sections, and they do so much, and you do them so well. It just adds a whole layer of electricity to what you do. So I'm so so glad that they decided that they needed to be there. Now, when did at what point did you know you had something special?
I would say, I mean, kind of almost right away. It's one of those things when you're able to make music with people that you love so much, and there was this, like, electricity that was kind of pushing through the project that no one quite understood, really. You know, I mean, we went from that original first house party to opening for a really extremely popular Portland hip-hop group, Chicharrones, at the Blue Monk, which was an old music venue in Portland, a really wonderful venue. The people, you know, struggled to get into, and we felt really lucky to just kind of have our first real live gig be in this kind of iconic spot, with working for these iconic people, you know. And from there, things started kicking off. We started picking up gigs, opening for people like Gifted Gab, Slick Rick, Sir Mix-a-Lot, George Clinton, you know, like all these things just kind of fell into place. And we were all kind of just like holding on to that and just like, I guess they're just going to keep pushing this forward, you know. People seem to know that there was something special there before we did.
Well, and of course, the rest is history, and it is special. So let's hear a little bit of that special sound. I believe this is to get a little bit of the rap in there. That's a remarkable song in many ways. I understand that it took you 2 years to put the album together, and that's a long time. Was that because you were sort of raising money through Kickstarter, or was raising money the easy part and writing the music the hard part?
We had a lot of songs in the works. I'd say the songs, writing songs was probably the easier part, but it's all just a long process, and definitely the Kickstarter took time, and every little piece takes longer than you think. Anyone who's worked on a record will say that, like, you go in the studio thinking you have this one end date, and then it becomes 4 months later, and then 4 months after that, and it never is as easy as you think.
Yeah, not surprised. Well, even you come
creating
in...
Creating the album actually didn't take as much time. Like, our part of it, it felt like was brief and a little bit fleeting in some ways. We recorded most of the music in floor mastering and recording in Portland, Oregon, in a week, right? It was like, just like the rhythm section went in there. I was in there with them. Maybe two or three of those songs are actually live takes from that session. We didn't really alter very much at all. We put the horns on top of that. It took a while to organize that. And then there were a few songs that we were actually writing in the studio as we went. And those are the ones that took a little bit more time than we thought that they would. You know, like, when we're perfectionists, there's seven people involved in making something that we want to be very, very, that we're proud of, that we love, and that we're attached to. And so making compromises is really difficult. So as we blew through our Kickstarter money a lot faster than we thought we would. And then we continue to spend money on the studio and on the, you know, we have a production crew and all those things in order to get the product that we wanted. So I think that had we maybe been less idealistic about our sound and what we wanted to present to the world, which we will not do and would never do, it would have taken a lot less time.
Well, it, I'm glad you did. Yeah, even you come in with a rap there, and a very fast rap. Where did you learn to rhyme and rap like that?
That's a good question. That That's hard. When I was in eighth grade, a friend of mine and I were just playing basketball, and he was rapping. So he kind of just encouraged me to just rap or whatever. We just make stuff up on the spot, just rhyming a couple lines at a time. And then I had some turntables, so we went back and just started writing. So I've been writing for and rapping for 16 years about. But it's definitely just a lot of influences, listening to a lot of hip-hop, being kind of really critical about it. And, just writing and rapping all the time.
Well, it's interesting to watch you play live because you look so calm and quiet, and then all of a sudden you come out with this great rap.
Yeah.
We're talking with Sarah Clark and Even Flow, which is his nickname, of the band
Evan
Revival.
Evan,
what was that?
Evan Flow is the...
Evan Flow. We are talking with Sarah Clark and Evan Flow of the band Dirty Revival about their debut album and their tour, and you can talk with them. You can call in 347-215-7511, or you can email us. My God, people are emailing already. You can email us at musicfridaylive@gmail.com. Let's get some of these emails here. Peter in Austin wants to know if you're coming to South By, or have you ever been to South By?
We have not, but we so badly want to go. You know, part of the funny thing with this group is, again, we're so young. We just started touring last year. And as we speak, we're in Wyoming finishing up a, 30-day tour. getting onto those bigger festivals can be kind of tough sometimes. People need to know your name. They need to be interested in you. And so we're kind of in the process of developing that interest by going from town to town and playing as much as we can and as the best that we can, hoping that somebody will catch on.
I think it's working. Raul in Los Angeles says, I missed you in L.A., but from the video, it looks like it was a great show. Are you coming back to L.A.?
We will be back to L.A. Actually, we are in the process now, as we wrap up this tour, of building another tour that is probably going to start on the 13th of July. We'll spend 3 weeks this time, I think, in the California area, and then move over to Colorado after that.
Okay. Simone in Salt Lake says, I read that Sarah has a 4-year-old. How do you tour with a 4-year-old?
I don't get to see him, which is really sad. I spend a lot of time FaceTiming him. He can't come with me. No, we can't. And again, a part of it, a lot of it is the financial situation that we're in. We have... we're an independent group, so we don't have sponsorship. We don't have a label behind us. We don't have anything like that. So all the money that we earn, we kind of put directly back into the band in the way that, gig money pays for gas, gig money pays for hotel rooms. And we can't, we kind of are it's a really tight budget. And then that way, bringing along someone that can sit in a room and watch my son while we're performing every night isn't viable for the business that we're running, which is very sad to say, but very true. I spend a lot of time FaceTiming him, but at this point, it'll be 20 days by the time I see him next, and that is definitely starting to wear on me a little bit.
As he gets older, maybe you can bring him along, and then maybe he'll be a musician like his mom. Who knows?
he loves music. He loves these guys.
All right. There's a song in the album that I think really kind of pulls every little sophisticated bit of your musical talents together, at least for me. It's called Make It. Now, I wanted to play a little bit of that because it's wonderful and unusual.
Time has come to start the harvesting. We dig down deep. Someone else is the hardest thing to sow, but you can't reap. Day to day, people struggling to make ends meet. Through the mud, they are shoveling. Until I die.
The get-go, that sound just it just takes off. It's sort of like a missile launch, and it really it showcases the bass line too. I really like the way bass lines work in your music. How did that song come about? Is that the desperation of tour finances?
A little bit before we started touring. Me and Sarah actually met up and started piecing it together. I had some chords or something, and it was definitely desperation for sure, mostly from work environment and just really wanting to push forward and do what we love to do, basically.
Okay, well, apparently it's working. Now, there's another song on the album, too, that kind of struck me, and I spent yesterday listening to all of your music I could get my hands on, and this one particularly, it's on my top-rated playlist. It brings back memories and then does some interesting things lately. That is such a lovely song, and then later on we didn't play it here, but later on it breaks into rap and it works. Now, how did you know that inserting rap in that song would work, or did you write it that way from the beginning?
No, not at all. We didn't write it that way. Originally, that song had a breakdown that featured vocalists. One of the funny things about this group that maybe we haven't actually discussed is that at one point, it was a very large band. We had two backup vocalists that were always there.
Wait a minute. It's a very large band now.
Yeah, it was bigger.
Okay, go on. Sorry.
Yeah, even larger.
Every show we played, we had two backup vocalists, and there was this portion of the song where Evan is rapping on Lately, where we all would sing together. And the line itself, I don't feel like I can say it on the radio, and I'm not going to because it makes me feel weird, but it was
thank you.
Very, very inappropriate, not quite the most ladylike thing that you've ever heard. And as we were looking at that, you know, when it came time to record, we were just like, you know, I'm not happy with this. Like, no one was really happy with it. And so we started trying to figure out what we could do to make it a little bit more exciting. And additionally, you know, Evan didn't have as many features on the album as we would have liked. So the rap thing kind of like a happy, we were like, okay, this could probably work. How would we do this? And then we started looking at changing the rhythmic, the rhythm sections, way that they were handling that section, and it just kind of fell into place there. We didn't know if it was going to work so well, and it worked beautifully.
Very well. But, you know, the idea of blending rap and other genres is not new. Salvador Santana does it really well. But in this song, you kind of do something different, as you were explaining. Sarah, you give us kind of hints of the rap to come. There's almost a rap in your lyrics, and then you come in with that strong rap, and the song flows back to soul, jazz, coolness. It's really remarkable. So was that all organic, that you kind of gave us that little hint that there's rap coming?
It was just a really happy situation. And we, happenstance, you know, we had originally that section that I kind of do my little hip hop sounding vocal line was already there before Evan started rapping on that track. So that was another kind of like push. It's really interesting how sometimes you like, I don't know, you can just like look at the song and see what it needs because you've already almost decided that and just not let it happen yet, you know, and that was, I think what happened with Lately, I was definitely foreshadowing something when we wrote that, Evan and I wrote those lyrics and did that, you know, it's like we wanted it to have that feel. But for some reason, right off the bat, we didn't really think about him rapping on it until much later. Right. So
it was a happy decision. You know, I noticed that everybody in the band is a highly polished musician. I mean, listening to you on stage when you're really rocking, I couldn't hear any mistakes. You know, maybe you could, but I couldn't. And Sarah, I know you were in a band early in your career, Ruby Starfruit. Were the other band members also in bands too? Which is where you kind of honed your chops.
Yeah,
everyone has played a lot. I think. I mean, Ruby Starfruit didn't really count as a band. I was just saying because all we did was rehearse in the basement and like drink alcohol and play one song over and over and over again. But you know, Evan can kind of explain more about the background of the other guys, I think.
Yeah, we've all had a bit of a background. I mean, I've tried to start bands or whatnot like several times. I'm sure others have had the same experience. We've played anything from like high school jazz bands to the bassist and the drummer used to play in a funk band that I'd love to go see, and I'd go freestyle with them whenever they let me up.
Yeah, and our bass player now plays in a really, really great band called the Blue Cranes in Portland. He's really versatile, so it's like he plays in a jazz ensemble now, as well as Dirty Revival.
Yeah.
Well, I want to play another piece here. This is we have time for one last song. We're almost out of time here, but I think that True to Your Nature, this song kind of blows you away. This is She Can't Wait. That just demonstrates another part of your range too. You can really do that kind of smooth. Is that what you call Portland soul? Sort of 50s slow dance meet, and then a belting soulful voice and strings and blues guitar and keyboard.
I don't know exactly what Portland soul is. I'm not sure. I think that one of the cool things about soul music and any genre like that is that, especially actually soul specifically kind of speaks about a state of mind as well as a type of music. So for us, we call ourselves soul because we know that that's where it's coming from when we perform and when we write. And I couldn't say whether or not that is like indicative of what the whole of Portland is doing when they think that they're creating, when they're making soul music. We've got a lot of amazing artists in our city, a lot of really great people to work with and to look up to that set examples for us about that. And I wouldn't say that our sound is like theirs, but I would definitely say that it's, you know, very soulful. We have a really good soul scene.
I would agree. We're almost out of time. I wanted to slip in two quick emails. Zeke in Denver says you ought to go there and play at the Gothic or the Beta soon. And Whitmore in Boston wants to know if it snows in Portland. I think the answer is yes, occasionally. And he says that we have it here in Boston and you would like it, so come out and do an East Coast tour, right?
Heck yeah, we'd love to.
Yeah.
Well, you can let Zeke know that we actually just played in Denver, Zeke, at Cervantes a couple last Saturday night, and we will be back for the Arise Music Festival in July. So
yay.
I think that's in Stapleton, so he should come out and see us then. And for our buddy in Boston, we don't get as much snow as you do. We do like it a lot, and we'd love to do an East Coast tour. And in the meantime, maybe do yourselves a favor and check out the Kochek Brass Band. They're a really great instrumental group out there that are friends of ours.
Okay. All right. Well, we are out of time now, and Sarah Clark and Evan Simcoe, I want to thank you so much for taking the time from your tour. And I know you're sitting there in a hotel room in two different rooms with your cell phones and and talking with us today. This has been really a delight.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you so
appreciate
much.
That.
The band is Dirty Revival. The album is Dirty Revival. You can get it and their first EP, the Dirty Revival Collective, at dirtyrevival.com. They're also on iTunes. They're on the Amazon Marketplace. And you can stream them on Spotify. And if you're in Idaho or Seattle, catch them at the end of the tour. They are electric on stage. I've seen them. Go to their website and get the dates for the last three or four dates on their tour. We have to take a break now, and when we return, El Dusty, Texas Turntable Fusion. Don't go away. You're not going to want to miss this.
World Arts brings the entire music world together on one global stage. We give artists the tools to sell and license their music, interact with industry pros, and play live to a whole new audience. Wherever they are on their journey, we want artists to get paid for what they create. At World Arts, fans can discover new songs, get exclusive rewards, and crowdfund projects for artists. Brands can offer opportunities for artists to create original content that fans can instantly vote on and share. World Arts is the global music platform where we can all rise above the noise. Take your career to the next level. Discover new artists. At World Arts, it's all about the music.
And we're back. This is Patrick O'Heffernan, your host here at Music Friday Live. And don't forget, you can talk to our artist. You can call in 347-215-7511, or you can email us, like many of you do, at musicfridaylive@gmail.com. Well, Corpus Christi, Texas, down on the Gulf Coast, doesn't get the kind of attention that Austin gets for culture and music. Now, I pay attention to Corpus Christi, Texas, because I was born there, and I know that there is a pretty lively music scene there and fertile ground for the kind of American Latin music fusion that I find so exhilarating. Well, leading that charge, blending classic Tejano and Mexican cumbia and Norteño music with today's sounds and technologies, is a man named El Dusty Oliveira, a native of Corpus Christi, this self-taught producer, mixer, musician, and unstoppable creative force has brought the soul of South Texas to a new level in beats and images and heart. So coming out of this swirling cauldron of creativity that is Latino fusion, El Dusty stands out not only in beats and house and rap, but also as an influence across the board. He sets a standard for rising Latino artists across the country and in other countries. And also, he sets a standard for just having a great time playing music. So best of all, he's here with us. El Dusty, welcome to Music Friday Live. Hi.
Yo.
Are you there?
Sorry, man.
Yay.
I'm here. How's it going?
It's going well. First of all, let me ask you, on the air, are you El Dusty or Dusty?
You could just call me Dusty. I just put the L there because I wanted to have some. I couldn't think of no like fancy grandmaster or mix master or nothing like that. I just used my name and I just put L in front of it, and that's all.
Yeah. Okay, all right, Dusty. Well, I know what South Texas is musically, or at least I think I do. But maybe you should tell our audience, what is the kind of special and unique culture in Corpus Christi?
We're in the middle of the both coasts, you know, we're down south, and everything kind of just trickles down from both sides, so we get a little bit of everything, you know, and plus we're so close to Mexico that we get a lot of that Latin flavor, and, you know, we put our own twist to things, and we're not Hollywood, and we're not New York, so we kind of have to just make our own way over here, and a lot of people are doing their own thing and making their own way here in Texas. You know, it's such a big place that we can kind of just, you know, make it in our own neighborhood and we're all right. You know what I mean? But it's a lot of different stuff over here. A lot of different things going on.
Well, I know one of the things about Corpus Christi is it, and South Texas actually, is it's not a big market for selling music. So I understand you've come up with an interesting idea, a mobile record store. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah. Well, here in Texas, a lot of the rappers, I mean, everybody's known for popping trunk and selling their CDs out of the trunk and stuff like that. And that's always been like in the back of everybody's head here, you know, like, we'll sell CDs, we'll do this. And now that the CD thing is kind of like, you know, it's kind of going away, we have to think of other ways to market ourselves, you know. And so what we've come up with is to do this mobile record store and kind of bring it back to the old school way of doing things. And we're going to sell vinyl and CDs, download cards, merchandise. I do these like Corpus hats that have been selling a lot over the past couple of years. We'll be selling that kind of stuff in there, and just trying to attract people to the music with other ways, you know what I mean? And bringing that truck out is just one of the ways that we're going to try to influence people's heads, you know, and like it's going to have a DJ booth on it and speakers and stuff like that. So it's going to be a real fun project. We're going to take it to different parties, festivals around the U.S. and, you know, hopefully have multiple trucks. I already have a lot of brands interested in helping us out. And so, you know, you might just see one in your neighborhood before long.
I think it's a great idea. If there's one in my neighborhood, I'll throw a party for it. I wanted to ask you a minute about Tejano music, which is for our listeners in other parts of the country. It's it's the fusion music of Texas that blends in German polkas and waltzes with norteño and other music from Mexico and now rock and blues. Now, Tejano goes back to the 1800s, and there's been lots of changes in it. Are you part of the sort of the next generation of Tejano music?
I hope so, man. I'm very proud to be from Texas. I'm very proud to be from Corpus. At one point, Corpus was like this Tejano Hollywood, and you know, I want to bring it back to that. You know what I mean? I'm extremely I push the Texas movement so much. I always wear my Corpus hat at all my shows. I'm always like, you know, representing however I can. I do hope, you know, and Tejano, the word Tejano has been a little bit tarnished over the years just because of you know, there's nothing else to complain about. So people are like, Tejano's dead and this and that. I mean, my music definitely isn't like Tejano, like as the sounds, you know what I mean? But it has the influence. I call my music Tejano, you know what I'm saying? And
okay, yeah.
And that's just what it is, you know?
All right. Well, let's listen to a little of your music. This is Que La Pasa, your first big hit. Did you know how popular that was going to be?
Man, I honestly had no idea. I never really made – I'm a hip-hop producer. I make rap beats. I have an MPC 2000. I have records, and I do sampling and stuff like that. I'm from that, you know what I mean? And when I started messing with cumbia, cumbia is always – you know, the percussion and stuff like that has always been in all my stuff. Even when I was, like, in a rock band, I put cowbells and all kinds of things in the music. But for Que La Pasa, I was trying to make something that was, like, a dance song, like a house beat. And I'm not really too – I wasn't really too familiar with that kind of, you know, production style at that time. So I learned a couple of little techniques, and I just tried them. I wanted to make a song with a sample breakdown and with some accordion. And, man, it just happened. I mean, the beat literally came out in, like, 5 minutes. You know, like, it was just a thing that I tried that side-chaining technique with the bass that I've never done before. And then I just, you know, I had the sample already, and I chopped it up. And man, it just came out, like, really good, you know. And
really?
I was like, okay,
obviously.
Cool. We got a cool song here. It sat in the can for, like, a year. And then a friend of mine, Ernest Gonzalez, asked me if he could put it on a compilation that they were going to do for South by Southwest and give it out. And I was like, sure, man, go ahead. And then my buddies were like, hey, we should do a video for that song, you know, or we should just do a video. Let's do a music video. Cause at that time I had started collaborating with these other guys that are now my crew called Produce. And we were like trying to figure out how to make videos and do graphic design and all this kind of thing. So we were just like, let's make a video. And it was my birthday. We called everybody to my apartment after the club, and the video is like at my apartment. You know what I'm saying? We had a party and filmed it.
It's a great video. People should go and look at it. Now, you mentioned cumbia, and cumbia is actually for people who don't know, is originally from the coast of Colombia. But over the years, there have been many variations and changes, and including a Mexican cumbia. And here in Los Angeles, there's an East Los cumbia. So cumbia is getting to be quite popular. So let's give a little sample of cumbia anthem to our audience here. Cumbia anthem. It's from the album that I have, which is the remix album. It's not hard for me to hear the influences there, the samples of the accordion music, the percussion. But maybe could you tell our audience a little bit about what makes that cumbia?
Clearly the sample and the cumbia rhythm. The cumbia rhythm is, you know, it's a beat that has a conga on the upbeat and the cowbell on the one, and then the wacharaca kind of in between. I put that in that groove in a lot of my music. It works well with hip hop, with reggae, with house, with all kinds of stuff. So it's just like something that I naturally kind of have in there. And if it's not in there, I feel kind of like the beat's kind of empty. So like I fill it up, and that is a sample from a very huge classic cumbia artist from Colombia, Andres Andero. And man, I mean, that's like one of my biggest influences on why I even mess with cumbia, you know what I'm saying? And so I just had to have that dude's voice on my track. And, you know, I brought the idea, to Miami. And one night I was at my friend Milk's house and he wasn't around, and I called this dude Happy Colors. We hadn't even met in person yet. And I was like, yo, you should come over. And he shows up at Milk's house and he's got his whole, like a desktop PC in his hands, and it, with a monitor and everything. And he's like, yo, I'm here. And I'm like, what are we doing? Are we going to send emails or what's going on? And so like, I mean, we just cranked out that song, man. It was a really good thing. I got a blessing from Discos Fuentes, the original record label of Landero. And they're kind of like the Motown of cumbia. They have all the old cumbia stuff. And they sent me a package like, here, man, sample all this, do whatever you can with all these old songs. And so, that was one of the tracks that came out of that bunch.
Wow, you were in heaven. Something I want to point out to my audience is that the accordion is part of this music, and that's not something you hear in a lot of other places. But the accordion is definitely part of the music, and where that accordion comes from is when Mexican music encountered the German immigrants into Texas who played the accordion with their polkas. So that's why it's such a unique mix. Now I'm going to play the title song from the album, and then we'll talk a little bit about all the albums. So this is Trapanera.
Okay, okay. Thank you. Okay.
Well, it's a good thing I have a long extension on my earphones because I'm up dancing. That your music really, just like in the video for the song. I mean, everybody's dancing. Now, I have the remix album, but there's a lot more things going on. Tell us about all the musical products you have out right now.
Yeah, I have a website called Americano Label, and we're kind of a net label right now, and I have a bunch of my music on there, remixes, edits. It's AmericanoLabel.com. And you can buy stuff or name your own price. You don't have to pay anything, you know what I mean? But it's all there. I have my SoundCloud up. I'm working on my album right now. It's called Made in Corpus. It'll be released through After Club and Universal sometime this year. And, you know, those are some of the songs that are going to be on the album. It's kind of like the style I'm going for is twerk and trap and house. And you know, a little EDM and electro here and there. I just want to mix all these different things together and just kind of put it out. I made my album here in Corpus, so that's what it's called, you know.
Well, you have actually there are two albums available now, aren't there?
Yeah, there's a couple of EPs. I have the Que Le Pasa remix EP that's out, and I got remixes from my homie from Peligrosa Sonora. From Alvaro, who's a really big EDM DJ in the Netherlands, and a couple other guys. There's Trapaneta, the remix EP. I did that song with Eric Rincon, who's another head in this global bass cumbia movement. And the MC that's on there is Angela Hunt. She is actually the one who wrote a bunch of like Major Lazer stuff, a bunch of the Snoop Lion album. She's on the documentary if you watch it. And she also wrote the Jay-Z song with Alicia Keys, Empire State. You know, so she's actually a really big MC. And I was just luckily enough through a friend of mine, DJ Buddha, that connected the dots, and we got that song done, and she just tore it up, man. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I absolutely tore it up is I think putting it mildly.
She's a hit maker, man. You know what I'm saying? Her voice is just, it cuts through in those songs, you know what I'm saying? And it sounds so good.
Wow. All right. We got some emails there. Let's see. Rinke in St. Louis wants to know, do you rap? You said you were a hip hop producer, and he also wants to know who's in your band.
I have a band called Master Blaster Sound System. And we have the guy who's the original Que Le Pasa had a sample on it from a guy named Mike Laude. And we had to replace it, you know, because we couldn't clear the master part of the sample. So we had to replace it. So I got my band in here and we redid the stuff. The song originally got signed in Germany with this guy, this label called Man Recordings with Daniel Haxman, who I owe a lot to, and I send him a shout out. But he had an accordion player from there in Germany replay the accordion, and then I came home and you know, made all the other stuff, the horns and the – I made the sample sound like a sample with Brian Ramos, his voice, the singer of Master Blaster. In that band, I have Brian Ramos, a guy named Mac from L.A., Ceci, who's out here in Corpus. She's a bass player. Jamal up in Austin with Brian, who's our drummer, and we're trying to find like percussionists and accordion. I want to add an accordion player to the band as well. And to answer your question, I dabble in rapping. I would like to do it a lot more because I have all these beats that, like, for some reason I can't really get people to jump on. It's just a weird style, you know. It's cumbia and it's kind of something that, like, it's been an instrumental part, like, you know, that I make instrumentals, you know, and so when people hear it, they're like, dude, it's already done, you know, like, what do I got to do to it? But, you know, when people get it, they get it, you know what I mean?
You should check out Salvador Santana, Carlos' son.
Salvador is a rapper.
Yeah.
I would love to work with him, man. Send him my info.
just check out his music because he's a rapper. And he does rap in lots of other frames, musical frames.
Nice.
The way you're doing it, and including some with Latin rhythm. So just check out his music, Salvador Santana. Another email here, Marty B in El Paso wants to know, when will you put your truck on the road, and are we going to see it down here?
The truck is actually getting wrapped right now, and it's, you know, we're going to have it at South by Southwest next week, and hopefully we'll make it up to El Paso really soon. I love playing in El Paso. I played there with Bomba Stereo and with Peligrosa a couple times, and I love going out there. It's so far, but it's a great place to play, and I get a lot of love from that town. So shout out to El Paso.
I like El Paso too. Vanessa in Tampa says, it's good to hear a woman's voice. Are there many women in the Texas music movement?
Yes, there's a lot of things. We actually run an after-school program called Chicas Rock, and you can check it out on Chicas Rock. Yeah, chicasrock.org. It's an all-girls after-school program in summer camp, run by Ceci, the bass player of the band. And she has all girl instructors. It's an all girls venue. It's just for girls to go in there and be themselves. And you know, and if guys want to join, they're welcome to join. But so far we haven't had any. But it's a girls deal. And man, she's training the next generation of up and coming songwriters and singers and musicians. I mean, dude, they like kill it. You should see these girls. They're just so good. It's amazing. They're 7 years old and 8 years old, playing in a band and like performing all over the place. They played at the Selena Festival last year here in Corpus and like killed it. I mean, killed it. They like totally
congratulations.
I mean,
what prompted you to start Chicas Rock?
Well, we moved into this building downtown in Corpus, and it was just like we started this collective of all these different kind of things. We do videos and graphic design. We have a little marketing agency here. And it's all my crew, and we do music. We have studios here, stuff like that. We have a little shooting stage. We have an art gallery. And with Chicas, we just wanted to kind of – it was Ceci's idea. You know, her and her and friends wanted to do an after-school program or a summer camp, and then she turned it into an after-school program. And, man, I mean, it just took off, you know. We get a lot of love from the city. Everybody loves Chicas. They're super popular over here. It was just one of those things that it just had to be done, you know?
Congratulations. Maybe it's something that can you can move out nationally. Now, I've got another song here.
Totally.
We're getting real tight on time, but there's another song in the album I want to play for our audience. This is Orale.
Orale. All right, let's do it.
Orale. Here we go. There's a lot going on in there. How did you put that piece of music together?
I did it with a friend of mine. His name is Savani Quintanilla. He's actually A.B. Quintanilla, the Selena's brother and his son. And he does the same thing I do. You know, he kind of came up with me over here in Corpus. And he's got a group called Royal Highness where they do like a cumbia trap kind of movement, and we made the beat, and we were just like, what can we do with it, you know? And so I sent it to these guys in LA called Hey Vato. They have a YouTube series. It's a puppet show of like these cholo puppets, and it's a really good thing, really positive. That all their stuff is really funny, but it's also super positive. And and that's the kind of thing that I want to kind of put out there for my people, you know what I mean? For my friends and stuff. And they just killed it, man. They came with a video. They did a whole video. They even made me into a puppet, and you can see the video on my Vivo on YouTube. And check out those guys. Hey Vato. I mean, they're just a great bunch of dudes. It's a really funny show. And
want to spell that for us?
Hey Vato, H-E-Y, and then V-A-T-O. You
okay,
can check them out on YouTube.
Sounds...
They're really cool guys. But
sounds
yeah,
like
they put the video together, and then we're like, yo, we got to put this out. I mean, this is the real deal. So the guys that are talking on the song is the puppets. So they it's a song with me and Principal Ku, who the Savani, and featuring Hey Vato.
And there's a puppet of you out there now, huh? Next, we'll have an action.
Yeah,
figure.
Man, it's crazy. I mean, these guys are all handmade. They do everything themselves, and they just, you know, he surprised me with this puppet, man, and it was crazy. It was a really cool idea, and I'm so happy that it came out the way it did, and super proud of the video. So please check it out when you can.
Well, Dusty, unfortunately, we've been having too much fun because we are about out of time. First of all, let's remind people where they can get your music.
They can find me on iTunes, on Spotify, everywhere that you can download music. And you can also check out my website, ldusty.com. Check out my net label, americanolabel.com. And look me up on Instagram, please. I love followers on Instagram. I love getting out there and you know, talking to people and comments and stuff like that. I'm a bit of a troll. But it's my Instagram is ldusty, E-L-D-U-S-T-Y, and from there you can find all my other stuff, Facebook, Twitter,
right.
You know, the whole deal.
And you have a Tumblr page, too.
I have a Tumblr page that's linked to my Instagram, sort of, and
okay.
Yeah, you can find me on there as well.
All right, and people should also check out your online store. You've got some really great stuff there, and I got to get me one of those Corpus caps now that I know about
yeah.
them. They're really fun, all right?
Yeah.
And like I say, everybody, you can also
produce goods.
And there, I mean, a lot of other things there. So check out his store, check out his Tumblr page, check out his Insta, follow him on Instagram, all of those great places. Wow, and also don't forget you can stream him on Spotify and listen to him on SoundCloud. You are all over social media. Well, Ldusty, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the air with us. I know you're a busy guy. You spend 12 hours a day in the studio, so it's really nice for you to take a break to talk with us.
Man, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure, and I had a great time. Sorry for talking your ear off.
That's why you're here, right? All right. Ldusty, check them out again. Tumblr, Facebook, Spotify, Instagram, everywhere. And don't forget to get yourself one of those Corpus caps and go out and throw a party with his music. You've been listening to Music Friday Live with Patrick O'Heffernan. I'm your host. We're broadcast on CyberStation USA and blogtalkradio.com and all of our radio affiliates. Like us on Facebook or Twitter. You'll get real-time updates on our guests. Our producer is Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Bartleben. Our intern is Angeline Serrano. If you download this and other Music Friday programs, you can download them at blogtalkradio.com/Music Friday, or you can find us on iTunes. A lot of people find us on iTunes. Be here next Friday, and our guest will be one of L.A.'s most enthralling rock bands, Polaris Rose. They've got a new album in the works. They've got new singles out. We're going to get those new singles, and I don't know, maybe we'll get a little hint of their new album. They've been really close with it, but they're friends, so I'm going to see if I can talk to them. We can get just a little cut of their new album. And also, you know, if we're lucky, we're going to get both of them, Peter and Maddie. Plus, we've got some surprise guests lined up. You need to check out our Twitter stream and our Facebook page, and we will update you on our guests. That's it for now. Have a great musical weekend. We're going to leave you with a little bit more of this great Texas music. This is Trapanera.